Hi, welcome everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Architecture of Wealth. My name is Mark Struthers. I am your host. We are rooftop tonight. A little wind there, but we tested it and I think you should be able to hear me okay. Summer's coming to the end and school is starting and we wanted to enjoy some of our last nice days. Our topic today for well-balanced wealth building, our tool, we're talking SMA accounts, separately managed accounts, or direct indexing. And there's that wind again. Direct indexing has been around for a while. It's become more of a topic of conversation because it's become more accessible. So minimums have dropped, costs has dropped. The cost is still more, it's going to be more expensive than owning most index funds, but index and ETFs, you know, some of those, the cost off the top of my head, I think is 10 basis points, a 10th of 1%. Whereas an SMA account, I see them anywhere from 0.4 to 0.5%. They call them BIPs, so 50 BIPs, 50 basis points is 0.5%, 0.4, 40 BIPs. Some firms the tech's getting better and the cost is getting lower. One firm I work with is down to 0.29, so less than 0.3%. Still more expensive than an index fund. And as we talk here, you can decide if it's worth the extra cost for you. But the minimums are coming down. So direct indexing is our SMA accounts, most often used for direct indexing, are used for tax purposes. It's because we can harvest losses at an individual stock basis, make it easier to reinvest it in a similar security, making it easier to avoid the wash sale rule, and it allows you to get more aggressive. Obviously, if you own a bunch of, you know, five or six mutual funds or ETFs, it's more problematic if you are trying to do it without that few securities. Whereas this, with SMA accounts, they now can most often easily hold 200 or 300, sometimes even 1,000 or more. It's a lot easier to do that. People have used these to replicate their an index to where they actually hold most or all the securities in the index, or a big chunk of them. You know, some people might call it sampling. But when you own that many securities, harvesting losses and or gains, or creating that tax profile that you want, is a lot easier for now and into the future. You could harvest losses and hold on to them in the future while still being able to reinvest the funds. The cost of trading has come to zero, is why they become more popular. One cost that's still there is the bid-ask spread. That's usually more of an issue with thinly traded securities, but it's a con I would just throw out there. Generally speaking, that's not going to keep a lot of folks from doing this, although it could. And some of the software can kind of catch a trade if the bid-ask spread's too large, and that's where you really need to shop around for providers. Some can do a lot, some others can't. So you just need to know what you're doing. Also, from a tax perspective, gifting. Often appreciated securities are gifted to a charity, a donor advised fund, and you're able to deduct the full amount and just avoid the capital gains, state and federal, altogether. That's a lot easier to do at an individual security level. You have more control and flexibility. It makes it more effective to do that and keep the investment profile, whether that's an index or you come up with your own kind of investment philosophy, which is our number two reason why you might do this. You can do it a lot easier with an individual security basis. Also, you can screen out things that aren't tax friendly. One, they just might be kicking off a lot of dividends. Even if they're qualified dividends, you might not just want the extra tax costs, and you might want to just push it off into the future. And that I'll pause there. That is one con of tax loss harvesting, is that you are just kicking the can down the road. People seem to miss that. You should never let the tax tail wag the investment dog, but some people seem to think, I'm getting this loss now and it's free. Well, if you're lowering your cost basis, and you got to think about it from a portfolio level, is that you're selling one security for loss and you're getting that capital loss, but you're buying another security presumably at a lower price than those previous dollars were at. Therefore, at some point, if you're going to harvest them, you're going to be taxed on it. If your tax rate's the same, that part's a wash. Now, you kind of got the government's free money for a while, But if the tax rate's more, you lose. The tax rate's less, you win. So just keep that in mind. Again, in many cases, it's actually still advantageous, but you are just kicking that tax can down the road. That capital gain, if you're lowering the cost basis, you're just pushing it off. But you can screen for things like REITs, real estate investment trusts, that might have non-qualified dividends, which are even less attractive. So that's where you do have control and flexibility as far as the tax profile of the SMA account more and more. The technology is still evolving. That's a con, but boy, what I've seen from some folks, from a couple of providers, it's pretty impressive. Still could get better, but man, it's compelling. And as I mentioned, you could take, number two, you could take on your own investment profile. So you might say, I don't want to be long. I don't want to have, the S&P 500 is very, very tech heavy. It's market weighted. So it has a lot of exposure to those tech companies. You could say, you know what? I think those are too risky in a rising rate environment. I still want some exposure to them, but I'd rather diversify away and have exposure to other things, small, mid, value, profitability, book the value, whatever it is. The most important thing for folks is to stay diversified and low cost. Some people are just a slave to an index. I find that fascinating, especially since many of them some folks don't even invest internationally. I see folks who say, I'm a passive investor, but I just own the S&P 500. I don't own any small or mid. I don't own any national emerging markets. That's odd to me because you're making an active choice, but that's a topic for another podcast. So you could take on your own tilts, and you can coordinate those tilts with your tax profile, with your gifting and so forth. That's pretty powerful. Again, the software isn't entirely where it's going to be, where it needs to be, and some firms are better than others, but something you could do. Number three, you can also invest according to your values. So you could invest ESG, environmental social governance, or SRI, socially responsible investing. So in the case of socially responsible investing, you can think guns, tobacco, big oil. People would screen those out to reflect their values. And so they're your values. Again, this is all about doing what you want, about what's best, know the consequences, but what's best for you. So you could screen those out, which is really powerful for value investing, because when you think about some of these SRI or ESG ETFs or mutual funds, everyone's values are different. It's so personal. This customization really is important to a lot of folks, because what you might find important, someone else might not. Again, someone else might be against the gun manufacturers. Some people might be against Facebook. So it's very personalized. The idea you're going to find an ETF or mutual fund that matches your preference exactly is small. This gives you an ability to do it. And when you think about these investment or value tilts, and I say value tilts, I mean not investment value, like low price to earnings, like Warren Buffett type, but I mean value your personal beliefs. These can be done in retirement accounts. So they don't have to be, we talked about the taxable account first. Obviously, that's not a retirement account. These could be done in any sort of account. Same with our fourth way of using an SMA, and that is to avoid concentration risk. So I have worked with a lot of professionals who, they have a lot of equity compensation, meaning NSOs, employee stock options, RSUs, ISOs. They just might own company stock. They didn't diversify for some reason. So whatever the reason, they might, in some cases I see folks that have half their liquid net worth or more in company stock, and their income is is contingent upon their company, their benefits. Their deferred compensation is dependent upon the credit worthiness of that company. So for them to be able to say, I want to screen out that company from my investments, or what's probably a better choice if it's extreme concentration, I want to screen out that industry or sector. Because as you've seen throughout history, some sectors might be hit harder than others, especially if you think about in terms of regulation. If you're in healthcare, you might have additional regulation that would harm you dramatically for either a short or maybe a not so short period of time. Or you could think the airlines, or during COVID, think of all the cruise stocks, the airlines, things that were really, really hit hard. Even though the economy as a whole was down, those were hit even harder. So you don't want to get laid off and have your company stock tank and have your company default on your deferred comp. You know, you want those other investments to be diversified, to act as a ballast, at least to some degree. SMAs can do that. Some folks are prohibited from investing in certain industries or companies. If you work for the FDA, I know that they're under strict, you know, they can't invest in fertilizer companies that they might be writing regulations for. I hope that's a good example, but you get the idea. There could be for some reason you legally can't invest in certain companies or industries, which could be really challenging if you're looking at ETFs or mutual funds, or if you're trying to put together a diversified portfolio yourself. You can do that a lot easier with SMAs. So there we have it. You have the four reasons, and we are just over 10 minutes here. So tax loss harvesting or managing taxes, it's not just a tax loss harvesting, can be much more effectively done, more control, flexibility, customization. Part of that customization you could use for your own investment style. You can use it for your value, your belief investing, whether it's SRI or ESG, whatever it is, you can do that much more effectively with SMAs. Also to diversify if you have a concentration risk in your other investments. And the cons we talked about, still it's higher cost than an index fund. The tech is still evolving, but really very impressive. It's getting a lot better. That lowering a cost basis in a taxable account is simply, you are just kicking that capital gains down the road, but it might be a good thing. It just make sure you're aware of it. And then lastly, complexity. So if you simply have 5 to 10 ETFs or mutual funds, it's a lot easier to get a handle on how those might behave, how they might interact, you know, how one might go up and one might go down. You know what their roles are and what to expect, and it's easier to understand. If you own 1,000 securities, the software might be there to where you can manage it effectively, but it's a lot more complex. It's a lot tougher to wrap your arms around, especially if you're not dealing with it all the time. So take that into consideration. That's all we have for you. Thank you for joining us. I hope to be on the rooftop again. It's gorgeous out here. The weather's starting to get a little bit cooler, although I think we're in for a little bit of a warm-up for the first week of school. Hope you and your family are well. Take care, everybody.